What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Major news in Ashburn as Ron Rivera fires defensive line coach Sam Mills. This is something that, honestly, I called in January or suggested was a good idea. It's pretty weird that it's happening now, but I think it's a positive step for the organization. We're diving into all of it next.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Key of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast, joined by Mitch and Pete, brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the same thing. Check them out, OrsmanVA.com, 7 locations all over Northern Virginia. All right, boys, right move, super weird timing, borderline shocking.
Yeah, I think all three of those things. I think it's a positive move in the long run because you can't run back the same defense with the same, essentially the same coaches and essentially the same personnel. Definition of craziness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We knew last year, we talked about it on this podcast, the friction there was between some of the D linemen and Sam Mills III. The timing is bizarre. He was in Canton this weekend for his father's induction into the Hall of Fame posthumously. And he came back. He was at practice yesterday. He didn't come out to the field today. I happened to be over in that corner of the field where the D line is. I noticed Warren Sapp. I was taking a picture slash video of him that we tweeted. I saw Ron walk out and go walk over to Jeff Scanina and talk. And in my head, I was thinking, oh, cool. Maybe Ron's going to go talk to Warren Sapp. That'd be a great video for Twitter. I didn't notice that Sam Mills wasn't there. Ron then circled up the defensive line. Our Chris Kerwin has a great shot of it on NBC4.
Yeah, it's going to be all over the news.
It's a great piece of video of Ron addressing the defensive line. It's far enough away you can't hear what's being said, but after practice Ron said that they had moved on from Sam Mills, and you're able to put kind of the full story together. Doesn't make the timing any less bizarre, but man, it was an odd morning in Ashburn.
Yeah, and when Ron announced it, he, you know, as JP said, I think on the AGG retirement pod, when Ron has a statement to begin a presser, it's going to be something normally pretty juicy. And with how the players have been retiring here, I thought, oh God, who's next? Then he said, we decided to relieve Sam Mills III of his duties. And odd timing aside, I do agree that it's positive. You now have a new coach. You have two new players in Mathis and Obata. You moved on from Ioannidis and Settle. There's enough new blood in there to hopefully spark a resurgence in performance and get this talented in name group to show that they can be talented on the field. It seems like Scanina is someone they respect. He's been here since 2020, and he's played 17 freaking seasons in the NFL.
That's crazy.
17 years,
yeah,
as a defensive tackle. So he's got loads of experience to share, and hopefully he's the guy to get more out of this group that we all have expected so much out of, and this team has invested a ton in.
So let's be real. The why, I think we know. It's production. A team like a defensive line with a ton of investment in draft picks and now in capital with the John Allen contract that didn't perform well enough last year. I think it's fairly obvious they wanted to move on from Ioannidis and from Settle. I mean, those guys are gone. They didn't really fit kind of the – they want some interior guys that can eat up blockers, eat up offensive linemen. Mathis fits that. But the why now part of it is very odd. I feel like we've hinted around and talked about it. We all – it's kind of a known secret out here, or maybe known reporting, whatever you want to consider it. Like, plenty of players weren't getting along with Sam Mills. That is nothing new. That's been happening really since his arrival. You have two defensive linemen got in a fist fight on the sideline last year. Like, a strong position coach, that should never happen. And whatever the hierarchy is, that there should be a number of people embarrassed or stopping that, like, the immediacy of that hierarchy would be their position coach.
Well, and then that fight, or not continued, but there was a second scuffle in the locker room at halftime there that Sam Mills had to step in between. It was a strange relationship between player and coach there.
And in addition to that, anytime, and this has long stood out to me, anytime you talk to Jonathan Allen about what he's learning, what he's trying to work on, he would almost always reference Jim Tomsula. It was never Coach Mills.
Or Saban.
It was Saban or Tomsula, and that spoke volumes to me as, like, the stuff that matters to him, he was learning from previous people, not Sam Mills. So, yes, JP, you're right. It was a poorly kept secret. I certainly was not as aware of it as you or other reporters, but I had at least heard you all talking about it and known that it was not a very nice pairing between the coach and the players.
I'm going to float a theory out here for the last...
I was going to suggest you float your theory.
It's my theory.
It's not a Trey Turner retirement theory. It's
no,
a useful
it's not.
Theory.
It's a theory about what the final straw was. We talked, I think, here a little bit about some of the past grievances or whatever. Warren Sapp was at practice today. He was here during OTAs. He has a connection to
Skinina and Mayhew.
Skinina and Mayhew have a connection. Sam Mills doesn't have a connection to either Skinina, Warren Sapp, or Martin Mayhew. His connection is to Ron Rivera. I wonder
Sam
if...
Sam Mills has a connection to Skinina. Skinina talked about
yeah.
it.
But,
I mean, he played with his dad. I'm saying Skinina said that
yes,
in his comments.
Yes.
We can't
okay.
ignore that.
Okay. And
said,
you're going to hear from Skinina later
right.
at the
he
end
said,
of the podcast.
He said, this is really hard. Like, I've known this kid since he was born.
It's just not to detract from your theory, though.
No, it doesn't. It's just...
Warren Sapp was in today. I wonder if there was some consternation from Sam Mills about being his authority being undercut, bringing in Warren Sapp to kind of help out with the D-line, whether that happened during OTA minicamp and then now as a second time, you know, Sam Mills wasn't pleased with it, maybe voiced his displeasure with the head coach. And, you know, knowing Ron as little or as much as we know him, I could see Ron being like, hey, it's okay to bring in, you know, other voices and other ideas. Let's, you know, come up with the best thing. And if you can't handle that, then maybe this isn't the right place for you. And maybe that's kind of how the straw that broke the camel's back kind of with Sam Mills and his connection to Ron / the organization. Again, total theory by me, just looking, reading whatever tea leaves there are to be read out there, but that's a theory I have.
Yeah, the suddenness of it speaks to maybe there's a final event that hastened his exit.
I mean, the fact that Ron had to address the players on the field, had to circle up the players on the field to the D linemen to tell them that Sam Mills is no longer the head coach, kind of leads you to believe that there was a sudden, that something happened. It wasn't a, you know, a culmination of a bunch of different things and, like, you know, Ron gave it long, hard thought and decided to make a change. It feels like there was an event that happened. Otherwise,
so here,
it wouldn't have been.
You want to run Ron's comments or you want me to just read them? I can read them.
Read them and then we'll get
pretty
to
quick,
yeah. Allen and Skinina are going to be at the end of this pod. You can hear from them.
So Ron said, I made a change on the coaching staff. I relieved Sam Mills III of his duties. Just a difference in philosophy for the most part, and we'll go from there. Well, just some observations, and to me it was just I felt it was a change that I needed to make, feeling there was a little bit of difference in the philosophy. Says he's going to keep the differences to himself. That theory is as good as other theories floating around. I don't know that it's right. I have a feeling this thing's been boiling for a while.
Brilliant.
And maybe there was one final straw, or maybe there wasn't. Maybe, you know, Mills was in – I have two thoughts on the timing. Like, if you're ever in a relationship and you want to break up with somebody, you don't necessarily want to do it right before Thanksgiving or Easter. Like, you want to at least get through the holiday and have a nice time. Maybe something had happened over the last few weeks, but everybody knew that Sam Mills Jr. was about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. And maybe you just want to let that be its own thing, and you know that Sam Mills is going to go to Canton, and the whole NFL is going to be in Canton, and you don't want this, yo, I just fired this dude, hovering over him. Who knows? Or maybe the flip side, maybe Mills being gone from like Saturday night's practice and Skinina is very much kind of the vocal leader of the defensive line group anyway. And like when I post videos of the D-line going through workouts, people will always be like, yo, who's that Jack dude? That's Skinina. Maybe Ron just realized I'm not getting enough out of these guys. Maybe I just need to make this change. Like, we don't know. Maybe he saw like Saturday night's practice at FedEx. It was going really well. I know that there are players that love Skinina. They call him Z. Like, I know that.
To your point about being the vocal leader on the D-line, I was working with the NBC photographer Chris Kerwin going through video trying to find some stuff of Sam Mills and Skinina and company. And, you know, just through training camp and it's been, you know, whatever, 2 weeks worth of stuff, every time we went through the D-line videos, Skinina was the one who was getting his hands dirty. He was the one that was hiking the football or holding the pads or, you know, and Sam Mills was more off to the side. And it didn't – as we watched practice, it never struck me that that was a thing. But then as we went back and you're watching the actual teaching and tutorials and everything that's happening on the football field, it seemed like, hey, maybe it was a little bit of a thing that, you know, just kind of skip by our eyes.
Yeah, and with Mills, it's not just Sapp. Ryan Kerrigan's there now. It felt like there's a lot of people swirling around that group, and you don't see that happening with John Matsko. Matsko runs the O-line. He gets some help from Travell Wharton. They're not bringing in John Jansen to get a look. They're not bringing in some guy from the Panthers to hang out. It's, like, very clear who the authority is for that unit, for example. It's Juan Castillo for the Titans. Like, all the other guys are running their shows by themselves with the assistants who are listed under them on the website and no other extra voices.
Yeah, and the Kerrigan thing is interesting. Ron spoke today that said, you know, I'm not going to – what did he say? I think he said Ryan's not getting elevated.
He'll continue to shadow.
Like a shadow role.
Yeah. And he said Sapp's visit was planned during OTAs. This wasn't tied to Mills' departure.
And Ron allowed that how it was really hard to do this because he's known the Mills family a long time, but there are some things that I felt wanted to change. Part of me wonders this. If we know that players have been unhappy, everybody kind of knows that. And Ron knows we got to make the playoffs this year. We need a much better performance on defense. Maybe it's a little bit of just like, F it. You guys think you know more, prove it. And it's like, we're looking at the timing, we're looking at all these things, and Ron just is like, you know what? Like, I need everything out of these guys. And perhaps it's a strategic timing for him, that he's going to let it get started, and then he's like, all right, now it's up to you. And maybe it throws the pressure back on them. Because let's be real, like, we can sit here and gripe that, oh my gosh, they have a preseason game in 4 days. It doesn't matter. Like, you know what Skinina now has? A month before the opener.
33 days.
And he's in charge.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like, I don't know. Maybe that's painting a pleasant picture on the timing. I imagine we're going to learn stuff about the timing over the next few days.
Well, and it was a while ago we did the pod where we talked about guys who were on the hot seat the most in this team and this coaching staff. And Jack Del Rio is one of them. Of course, Ron is going to be the one that ultimately makes the decision of what happens with Sam Mills. But is there any credence you think to Ron is giving Jack enough rope to hang himself? Or like, hey, you know, Jack wasn't pleased with necessarily what was going on there and he wanted to make a move, and this is Ron saying, okay, guy, the defense didn't live up to the standard last year. I'm letting you make your move and have your, if it's his guy, your guy in Coach Skinina, you know, and if things go poorly, then it comes back to you.
Yeah, it's like what all Major League Baseball teams do. They fire a base coach. They fire the pitching coach. But eventually you peel off enough layers, you get to the core, which is Ron, Jack, Scott. And I'm glad that there's urgency and they want to fix it. You know, timing be damned. They know that this group should be better, and hopefully it sparks that. And regardless, now everybody is on notice that there is more pressure, and I want them to feel the pressure because this team hasn't been good enough the past couple seasons.
You're always better fixing a problem, regardless of when you fix it.
Yeah.
This is what I wrote in January. Don't expect big-name coaching changes, but that doesn't mean there won't be changes. The biggest position to watch might be the D-line. Sam Mills III has coached the Washington defensive line for 2 seasons, and sources suggest he might not have the ear of the position group. this season, it's hard to look at Washington's D-line performance and suggest the group maximized their talent. The Burgundy Gold has made significant investments along their front and needs the group to play demonstrably better in 2022 to get back on track. It's a group of alpha males with Allen, Young, Payne, and others, and things clearly reached a boiling point during a loss in Dallas when D-linemen were swinging at each other. This will be an interesting spot to watch as Mills goes way back with Rivera.
It was interesting to watch.
And John Allen was quite complimentary of
very diplomatic.
Sam Mills. It was very diplomatic, and I would imagine that there were.
If he were to host an off-the-record pod, he would have given up some
more descriptive things that he may have wanted to say.
Yeah, but
I agree with that. Maybe he'll host an off-the-record pod.
Yeah.
I would not hold my breath.
Oh, no, would I?
You never know.
Other events?
Yeah.
I think that covers. I think the thing you've been saying on your radio show, you should say it here about this being something that might get swept under the rug because it's only a position coach. But
yeah, I don't think this is a big deal. And I think for some fans, it may not register as a big deal, but I very much think this is a big deal. This is arguably for the first time since he's been here, Ron getting rid of one of his guys. Ryan Vermilion had a DEA raid on this place, and Ron didn't officially let him go for a year.
And he told you that he still trusted him with his life.
Right. Like, Ron doesn't get rid of his guys. He got rid of one of them. Maybe there was some backroom fist fight. Maybe there was just a culmination of poor efforts. We don't know the why. I imagine we're going to learn it. But, like, Ron knows. Ron's telling anybody that'll listen, we got to make the playoffs. He doesn't want to say playoffs or bust, but he's talking about this big leap in year three. Maybe he knows he needs better play there. Or I know they need better play there. Maybe he now thinks this is the way to get it done.
Yeah, it will be a thing that is barely mentioned on national shows, but local fans of this team, this matters, and JP's trying to tell you. And when he tells you things, you should mostly listen.
Do you want to talk Wentz real quick?
We'll do a quick Wentz, yeah. Thought it was Carson's.
For the record, I don't think it should be a quick Wentz because we crush him when he has the bad days. Today was a good day.
Two of the three of us crush him when he has the bad days.
Fine. I am one of them.
Okay.
And I am the other.
Yeah.
There's no crushing to be had today. Carson, I think, in Pete's evaluation, had his best outing of training camp. Started in 7-on-7s, which is not real football, but it does at least give him a chance to find some rhythm. Three completions, he stepped aside, came back in, three more completions. Most importantly, I think, found some timing with Terry McLaurin on an out route, on a comeback, the type of throw that he was missing and has missed even in one-on-none drills. So that was really encouraging. Then he brought it to 11-on-11s, moved his offense downfield with a McLaurin-Sims back-to-back. Eventually that drive sputtered out, but then later on found Dotson for a 35-yarder, hit McLaurin again on another comeback. Like, distributing it to multiple receivers in multiple situations, and no turnovers. He hasn't been intercepted since pads came on. Probably should have been picked today by St. Juice. But regardless, really encouraging to me from Carson, and makes me feel a little better that we finally saw the highs of him that can cancel out the lows.
Yeah, I think some of the throws that he made today were the elite-level type throws that we talk about. He had the out to McLaurin on the far side of the field that McLaurin had a DB draped all over him. He put the ball where only McLaurin could catch it. McLaurin came up with a great play, toe-tapped his feet, got out of bounds, kept the play moving. Had a ball in the middle of the field, I believe, to Cam Sims, if I'm not mistaken. That was just over Jamin Davis's. It was over the linebacker, over Jamin Davis, but in front of the safeties, just a really nice touch throw. He had the fourth and gotta have it from about the 20, where he threw the deep fade to Dax Milne, which was a perfect deep ball into the corner of the end zone that was over the extended arms of the DBs and placed in where only he can get it. It's good to see the good side of Wentz. It doesn't change my overall view of him, but it certainly is I would say a relief for me to see him make some of those throws, because we've seen the other side of it.
All I would say is, to quote my man Jim Zorn here, I'm just going to stay medium. Like, I'm not going to flip out about the bad days. I'm not going to get too excited about the good days. Like, I think this is all building towards a culmination of pretty good quarterbacking that I've been expecting.
Yeah, and I think it's necessary to remember we're out here at camp.
Thigh over there, pal.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, that's a.
It's
that's
an we're about to be
that's
showing
an Italian
something else.
Decathlete.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh God, it's really cold in here though, so you wouldn't. It would take a lot more thigh.
Jeez.
I think it is important just to finish this up before you have to say whatever you have to say. When we're out here every day, it's hot and we have a lot of stuff to do, and it feels like we're out here for days on end in one day. But we have to remember, it's just one day of practice. It's one small part of a larger sample size. I still think Carson's camp has been disappointing for me, but today was a nice uptick in production, and another week of that will have me feeling better about him overall. Mitch, where are you going to?
Oh, I don't want to derail the pod, but longtime pod listeners will want to stick around after the end of John Allen and Jeff Scanina for an update on some things.
Wow.
I don't know that I want to stick around for that.
It's quick, and you're going to love it.
I have something that is not for the pod, but I meant to tell you guys, so remind me.
Okay.
Should we just go to the stuff? Do we need to do one thing?
No, I think one thing is that the defensive line coach got fired and the quarterback played
on
well.
August 9th.
And,
right. 3 days
before. I was showing a lot of thigh. There you go. Your three one things right there. Right. Here is Scanina, your new D-line coach, Jonathan Allen, and then Mitch has something to say.
And before Scanina goes, let's be real. This isn't a guy that does a ton of media, and he probably wasn't exactly expecting
prepared
to do a lot of media today. So just – bear with the
yeah, phone. You're not going to be like super fired up or amazed, but he's
a
what matters
coach,
is how
dude
he applies
yeah,
to the right players, not you.
Right.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What was, when did you find out that you would be the new D-line coach, and what was your reaction?
I found out first thing this morning, I guess. You know, when I got in the building, coach called me in and told me that I was taking over, and that was it.
What will be your focus, you know, to get these guys ready for week one?
I mean, nothing's going to change. We're doing the same thing. You know, we're not changing defenses. We're not changing techniques. We're just moving forward, you know. I was brought here to help win a championship, and that's the main goal. You know, I'm not changing anything. I am who I am. I don't. You know, what you've seen the last few weeks, last couple of years, that's what you're going to see.
What do you think will be necessary to get more out of this defensive line this season than the team got out of it last year?
We just got to play hard, stay healthy. You know, that's the main thing, you know, for any team. You know, we're going to, you know, keep working on our craft every day, trying to stop mistakes and be faster.
Just having been in that room together with Sam, is it difficult personally to kind of move on and part ways there?
Yes, it always is. As a player and as a coach, you know, either you get fired or you get traded or whatever, on both levels, it's always hard. Because he is a friend, he always will be a friend. I've known him almost his whole life because I played with his dad. So it is hard, you know. But also, I have a job to do as he had a job to do, and it's got to keep moving forward.
What will it take for the D-line to, like, take that big next step this season, you think?
Playing as a unit, playing hard every play, being accountable for our mistakes. You know, and gelling. We're gelling, you know. We are – I like where we're at right now in the room. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer and closer every day.
I guess you've been here, obviously, but do you have a message to the group? Do you address them and kind of say, hey, here's what we're going to be doing now? Or
no, we're business as usual, you know, and any message I have with them is going to stay with them and I. You know, I can tell you that right now. It's, you know, that's how I operate, and, you know, nothing's going to change.
Obviously, there's so much attention on the starters in particular. What do you kind of make of that group? What have you kind of seen from them in this camp?
I think we've taken, you know, through the spring and through camp we've been through. I think they're taking great strides. They've developed. They're embracing the technique more and more every day, and they're buying into it, and they're performing at a very high level right now.
I know you say you're not going to change, but your role does change. So how do you adjust to that? Maybe, you know, being in charge versus being the assistant. What does change in that?
I don't know. I mean, like I said before, I've had my own room before. I've learned from my, you know, from that situation, and, you know, and Sam and I had a great working relationship, you know, and I think it's not going to change much. You know, it's just a matter of getting those guys ready for Sundays every week.
How does being an ex-player help you with, you know, your teaching and communicating with them?
I don't know. I mean, I've done it, yes. And, you know, I'm not saying that ex-players are good, you know, make the best coaches. You know, a coach is a coach at the end of the day, you know. So, personally for me, I can see things maybe a little bit faster. And then there's some spots I don't see things fast. You know, it is what it is. But I know what it takes to win, like any coach does. And that's the main goal, is getting a win.
Last one.
I imagine you've thought about elevating up through the ranks. Maybe this isn't the way you wanted it to go, but have you kind of sort of processed the idea that you are now the primary D-line coach?
Again, I woke up this morning, had no idea. I came out to practice. I'm the same person, like I said earlier. I'm not changing. So I don't look at it as anything. I look at it as an opportunity to get all these men a championship. That's the goal. I'm not going to change.
John, you obviously, there was a change with the D-line coach today, letting go of Sam Mills. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's sad. I think me and Coach Sam were getting along really well. We were really making some progress as a defensive unit. It's the NFL, and people just got to remember it's a great game but a terrible business. Obviously, it wasn't ideal for him. But as a team, we have to focus and keep moving forward. And, you know, I love Coach Sam and I wish him the best. But my focus is making sure everyone who's here, I'm doing my best to make them better. So that's what I'm focused on.
How unusual is it, you know, we're midway through camp here and it's not like an offseason. It wasn't an early offseason change. Just how much is it weird for you kind of to go through this?
One thing I've learned in the NFL is that nothing is unusual. You got to learn to expect the unexpected. And as soon as you get comfortable, the NFL will surprise you. So, I mean, going into my sixth year, there's very few things that can surprise me in the NFL anymore. I've seen some of my best friends get cut, seen some guys who I thought for sure were great players not make it for whatever reason or another. So it's really hard to surprise me going into year six.
Was this one of the few things?
I think the timing was very surprising, but at the end of the day, it's not my job to worry about that. It's my job to play football, and that's what I'm going to do. We have the utmost faith in Coach Rivera, and, you know, we're going to rally and we're going to go.
How did you find out?
I'm sorry?
How did you find out?
Coach Rivera came and talked to the D-line personally.
Well, what was his message to you guys?
He just told us that it was his decision for whatever reason or another, and he told us he's going to be moving forward as a helm, and that was it. We got a job to do.
Did you have any shots to hear that?
I'm sorry?
Did you have any sense that this is something like this could be happening?
I had no idea. No.
What does Jeff add as a coach?
When you look at a guy who's played 17 years in the position in the NFL, there's so much that he's learned over those 17 years and however many years he's been coaching. So, I mean, there's so much that he can teach us, and, you know, we're just excited to get to work.
What are some things that you learned from him already?
I mean, it's kind of like what I learned from Morse Hubbard, is the mentality you have to play with. When you look at a guy who plays 17 years in the NFL, they're not normal, and you can't be normal to do what we do.
Do you think there'll be much of a transition with Jeff?
I don't think so. He's been with us for the last 3 years, so he knows how we play. We know how he likes to coach, and, you know, we're just getting ready for Carolina.
Obviously, the losing of last season was frustrating. How does this impact, you know, you guys as you get ready for a pretty important season here?
I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what distractions you get handed, we're professionals, and our job is to handle those distractions and do a job. I mean, regardless of outside circumstances, we get paid to do a job, and I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability.
We all have talked about Peter's swallowing throat thing issue.
Yes, yeah.
He had an allergy test. JP, you'll enjoy this.
Oh. An allergy JP knows test some of the results,
to find out what the results were. Turns out that Pete's allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Which brings me full circle to throw the damn thing off the balcony.
Yeah. Yeah, the cat. I'm allergic to the cat as well as cockroaches and grass and trees. But because I'm not symptomatic, none of it matters. The cat's going to stay in the apartment, not over the balcony. I'll be okay, though. I told it to JP, and he, like, rolled his eyes through the back of his skull back to the front of his face like multiple times.
I enjoyed that update very much. Yeah.
For someone that has so many ailments to learn.
I really don't have that many ailments, but. Well, I told you, I'm not going to, I don't talk medicine with JP anymore.
I didn't bring this up.
I know, but I'm engaging you and I shouldn't. I'm not going to talk with you.
For someone that has however many ailments, perhaps it's a lot, perhaps it's a little. If you're allergic to cats, get rid of the cat. What the hell is a non-symptomatic allergy?
That is a very good question.
I don't get allergic, but apparently I am.
Okay. That's...
Let's bring on my doctor.
This was a wonderful podcast.
You got to understand that doctors and the medical industry
are a business.
They're a business.
They want you
to love
back.
Guys like Pete.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we got to run more tests. We will figure this out.
All right, if you made it this far, I owe you a cat allergy test.
I didn't bring it up. I didn't address it. I didn't say anything.
Thanks, Mitch.
Show him a lot of thigh over there, pal.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.